Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. I want you to hear the word of God. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and he took her by the hand, and he lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and he went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So right now, everybody is either sick or tired or sick and tired, right? I think that's fair to say. We've got, you know, we all are familiar with, you know, each day we see, you know, numbers and things of that nature, right? How many people are sick, whether it's with COVID or other things like that, right? We see the daily numbers, and sometimes those things can become overwhelming. And then on top of that, we're tired, right? I'm tired. I'm tired of staying home, right? I'm tired of not just picking up and doing what I want to do. I'm tired of distance. I'm tired of not being able to do communion the way we would normally do it, right? Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing those things, but, you know, I'm tired of it because, you know, we like the connection. We like the things that we used to doing, right? We're tired of it. And I personally am tired of hearing, getting at least an email a week from somebody at the school telling me about one of my students' parents or grandparents who has died. I'm tired of those things. And I know you are too. We've all got different things that we're tired of, right? Some of us haven't seen loved ones in quite some time. Some of us are tired because we can't safely go out and do things due to, you know, pre-existing health conditions and things like that, right? Those things take a toll. The lack of being able, freedom, the lack of connection is difficult. And I want you to know, though, that you're not alone. You're in good company. Because everybody Jesus sees in this scripture is sick. And then Jesus is tired. Right? Think about this story, right? He goes into town and he starts to, like, he's just done a healing in the synagogue. And people are amazed, right? What is this teaching? He teaches as one with authority. And then he leaves and he goes someplace where he ought to be able to relax, right? He goes to the house of two of his buddies, right? Peter and Andrew's house, where his mother-in-law is there, where Peter's mother-in-law is there. And it turns out she's sick. Even when he goes to a place that should be quiet and calm, the world comes calling. And Jesus needs to heal her. Now he does. He does with no compunction, no slowness, right? He immediately goes to her, holds out his hand, and lifts her up. Right? It's a beautiful story. And then she begins to serve them. Now that's the first part of the story, right? That she had a fever, and that fever could have been deadly, right? I have a thing on my phone that I have to do every single workday that asks me, "Do you have a fever? If you have a fever, what do I have to do?" Stay away, right? Doesn't matter if it has to do with COVID or not. It's not worth the risk. Stay home. Right. Now imagine in a time when they didn't have aspirin and they didn't have, you know, medicines that we have. They might have had some herbs somewhere and this, that, and the other. But basically, if you had a fever, you went to bed and you hoped it went away. And Jesus comes to this woman and he lifts her up. And she's able to serve, not because she's a woman, but because that's what she's getting to do. She has the opportunity to serve Jesus. The fever incapacitated her and she couldn't. But now, because he lifted her up, she can. I think that's a metaphor for each of us. We each get overwhelmed. We get worn out. We get beaten down. And we need help. And the wonderful news is that we have Jesus. That Jesus comes and lifts us up. And then we can proclaim gladly that we're so glad that Jesus has lifted us. Right? So he heals her. And then, though, the word gets out. Jesus just healed this lady. Hey, everybody come over here. And then there's two people at the door. There's eight people at the door. Then the whole town is at the door of the house. Right? And pretty soon he spends all day and all night healing and casting out demons. And it's a wonderful, amazing thing. And each person that leaves is thrilled. The demons aren't thrilled, but he makes them hush. Right? And Jesus heals so many people. But then how do you think he feels? He's spent. He's worn out. He's tired. And oftentimes that's how it is in life, right? People don't understand when you've done too much, when you've gotten worn down and you don't have any more to give. And the people are still coming and coming for Jesus, and he sneaks out early in the morning and he goes away to a quiet place. There's an old email forward, and I'm sure you've seen it on Facebook or on the email, and it goes something like this. There's a preacher who's saying, man, I'm really tired. And he asks his friend about it. And his friend says, hey, how come you don't just take a day off? He says, I can't take a day off because Satan never takes a day off. Right? And the response is, well, you need a better role model. Right? It's too easy in our culture and in our world. We elevate work and productivity to such a point where if you're not producing something, then you don't matter. Where if you're not making enough or doing enough, then you are somehow less than someone who needs to rest. And then we have this scripture. Jesus, the Son of God, God in human flesh, comes to earth and he's healing and he's doing wonderful work. That's great. But then he needs to rest. He needs that time of quiet. He can't just pour and pour and pour and pour without ever stopping to refill. Even Jesus goes off and finds a quiet place. You see, there's a rhythm that needs to happen for us to be effective in our work, for us to be effective in our spiritual lives. And that rhythm is you work, and then you rest. And then you work, and then you rest. Even God did it, right? How many days did God take to create the earth? 6, and he took one to rest, right? Even God. Now, I'm not saying we only rest one day a week. Okay? You need to rest. Okay? But God, even the Father, rests. It's important. And so right now, though, in the world that we live in, it is tempting to work all the time. In fact, you can't get away from work, right? Used to be, some of y'all in your heyday in the workplace, if you went home, nobody called you. Now what happens? You can be at home, you can be in your car, you can be in your bed, you can be anywhere, right? And you're going to get a call and they're going to say, hop on, you know, Zoom, we got a meeting. And it soon becomes to where you have no time that's not devoted to production. And that's not how humanity is designed to work. We are designed to work and rest and work and rest. We have to refuel, because what happens when we don't refuel is that we lash out and we're uncomfortable and we're angry and we're bitter and we're frustrated, right? And then we don't do any of the things we're trying to do well. We have people right now who are trying to work, parent, teach, and survive all at the same time. And nowhere in there is there a space to rest. And pretty soon you do none of those things well. This is the struggle of the world we live in now. If this snow had happened on a weekday, the kids wouldn't have even been out of school, right? They're not even going to get snow days anymore, because they'll say, nope, today's a virtual day. Get on your computers, because now they know how, right? We don't get a break even to enjoy the wonderful, rare events that happen around us. And so I want you to think about how important it is to know that we have an opportunity to rest and to take that opportunity to rest. Christ can pick us up when we get too tired. Christ can pick us up when we're sick and free us for service. Because I don't know about you, but I can't serve when I'm bitter about it, right? If I get up one morning and I'm going in to talk to the students at the school and I'm like, I just don't want to be here. I want to be in the bed, or I'd rather be in Cabo or whatever, right? Then I'm not going to serve appropriately. I'm not going into it with the right frame of mind. And if the reason I'm to that point is because I haven't taken time to connect with our Lord, then that's my doing, right? I've allowed my self-proclaimed importance to overwhelm what we know is right. That if rest is good enough for Christ, it's good enough for me, right? If the Savior of the world needed to take a break, my work is not as important as His. And I need to take a break. And you need to take a break. Know that every minute of your life does not have to be devoted to doing something. You have to be able to hear what the Lord is saying. Don't neglect your quiet. Don't neglect your peace. Don't neglect your rest. And here's the thing. Here's what's great about it. You have to know that you're sick in order to cry out for help, right? The people that came to the door of Jesus, of Peter and Andrew's house, they came there because they knew they had a demon, or their friends knew they had a demon. They knew that they were sick. They knew that they needed healing. But there were other people in that town who needed healing, but they didn't know it. There were other people in that town who needed to be freed of demons, but they convinced themselves they didn't have any. We need to be to understand who we are and be willing to reach out. And Christ will lift us up every time. So I don't know which place you're in today. You may be worn down. You may have burned that candle at both ends. And then what eventually happens? Meat's in the middle and there ain't nothing left, right? We don't want to be like that. You may be though sick. You may be mentally worn down. You may be so tired you can't handle it. The point is that Christ comes. Christ will lift us up. Christ will give you the rest. Christ will give you the strength. Christ will give you the healing that you need. And that's why it's important that we do, and I know it's weird looking and it's space age, I feel like I'm an astronaut taking communion, right? But this is an opportunity for us to remember that Christ comes to us in the midst of our tiredness, in the midst of our sickness, in the midst of our fervor to do what we have to do, to be always doing, and says, come to me, all you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take this moment today as we go to the Lord for Holy Communion, and remember that Christ comes. Christ has come. Christ continues to come for us, giving of himself, body and blood, and soul for each and every one of us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now I got the video part done. So now, as we prepare for Holy Communion, take your cups. Does everybody have one? All right. So what we do is we remember today that the disciples, think about the disciples going to the upper room, how overwhelmed they were, right? They had heard the rumors. They were convinced Jesus was going to come and he was going to take over, right? He was going to start a revolution, and he didn't. And so they're disappointed, and they've been working hard to help Jesus do what they think Jesus is going to do. And then they don't know what's getting ready to happen, right? And Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. And Peter, the type A personality, immediately is like, hey, not me, not me, right? And then, of course, he does later, right? But Jesus, in the midst of their worry, their confusion, their frustration, when they're exhausted and they don't know where their next step is going to come, he takes juice, wine, and he takes bread. And he says, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. If I can get it out. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he takes the cup and he says, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And now I encourage you to go ahead and partake. And now, as you've received the gift of Holy Communion, know that the beauty of Christ's love is that he promised to be with us, to come and to be among us when we do this act, when we do our sacrament of communion. And so we know that we are not alone. You are not alone as you go from this place. You are not alone as you go to work. You are not alone as you take care of family members or children. You are not alone because Christ will come and lift you up. Take the moments, like communion, to recover and restore and be ready again to serve with joy. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery that you have offered to us. We thank you that you've given yourself to us and you continue to give yourself to us. Give us restoration and strength so that we can give ourselves to others in your name and that we can bless others and bring forth your kingdom here on this, your earth. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.